This is My Favorite View, Abandon AU, featuring Panic at the Disco with cameos by Fall Out Boy and The Academy Is, written by Alfie Pike and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R and contains the pairing Brendan Urie Spencer Smith. Kinks found in this fic include voyeurism, photography, blindfolds, handcuffs, first-time sex, dirty talk, dominance submission themes, shibari, and Pete Wentz naked. "Hey, Johnny Walker," Bill said, crossing his long legs and leaning in very close. "You're a photographer, right?" "Yep." John figured it wasn't worth mentioning that Bill always seemed to notice when John had his camera out. "Could you take my picture for me? Except I wanted to try something." That was how John got started in the fetish photography business. "Do you know who would be a great model for you?" Pete starts. And with anyone else, that might have been a question. Then again, it's hard enough to hear him over the music in the club, let alone interpret punctuation. John finishes his beer and shouts, "Who?" "Ryan Ross," Pete says, and grins toothily. "I'm not gonna take his picture just because you have a big heart on for him, Pete," John shouts again, amused. Ryan Ross is the latest Pete Wentz project. Pete calls him that, though not to his face. Recently arrived to Chicago for some kind of graduate school. Creative writing-related shenanigans. And on the run from a dark past. Again, Pete's words. Besides, he's already told me that he, appreciates the artistry of my work, but his poetry already puts him out there enough already. Pete's grin is so wide he could probably swallow an entire melon whole. He totally said just that, didn't he? There was something about sensationalism and self-awareness, too, but I think I was already pretty drunk at that point. Speaking of which, John catches the bartender's eye and gestures with his bottle. If I can't count on John Walker to get me pictures of Ryan naked, who can I trust in this world? But Pete's laughing, and John doubts that he'd really want to share any naked Ryan time with anyone else. They've been in Chicago proper for 2 hours and a few spare minutes, when Ryan announces that they're all going to go to an art show tonight. Seriously? Brendan has spent one entire hour of that time cuddling with Ryan's sofa and watching a rerun of CSI. Occasionally shedding plot points at Spencer and Ryan through Ryan's open bedroom door. "We just got in, and you're already forcing us to hobnob with all the artsy hoi polloi?" "Don't use words you don't understand, Brendan," Spencer says, already pulling on his coat. "Come on," Ryan says. "I'm going to take you guys out to dinner afterwards if we can get there soon enough." "Okay, okay." Brendan fakes a woe-is-me sigh and stands up. "I can soldier through it if I must." Ryan looks at Spencer. Spencer rolls his eyes. "You see what I'm living with?" "I had thought you were joking," Ryan says. But that's a joke coming from him. Ryan's always been an excellent straight man. "This is Pete's place," Ryan says when they get closer. But he always has art up, too, for his friends. "Pete's the guy who's been trying to get into your pants, right?" Brendan's breath puffs whitely in front of him as they walk. "Yeah, I'll introduce you," Ryan says, and pushes open the door. Inside, it's warm and noisy with the sound of people conversing and laughing and drinking. There's music in the background, but it's next to impossible to make it out. They leave their coats at the coat rack, pick up glasses of wine at the bar, and start wandering around. Are we looking for someone in particular? Spencer asks, glancing over the photographs. It takes him a second to realize what he's seeing in each of them, and he hides his surprise by taking a sip of his drink. Trust Ryan to not even mention what kind of art they were going to be looking at. Then again, Spencer should know by now that Ryan always wants something that much more outrageous. Really, an exhibit of black-and-white large-scale erotic photographs displayed in a bar is pretty benign. The photographer, he's over there, come on, Ryan says, and navigates a path through the crowd. Spencer, Brendan, Ryan says. This is John Walker. He took all of these. John is already quite pink-cheeked. Ryan, you came, and you brought people. These are my friends from Vegas, Ryan says. Brendan and Spencer both say hello, but almost immediately Brendan's attention is captured by the photo on the wall next to him. Oh, wow, that's... And his mouth closes with an audible click, studying the photo, wide-eyed. They all turn to look at it. That's Tomrad, John says. The rope was his idea, but I gotta admit, I've always wanted to try it. Brendan has no response. You should pretend we could afford to buy one and show us around, Ryan says. I should totally do that, John agrees. John gives them the full tour. He's pretty charmed by Spencer and Brendan almost immediately. Spencer has clearly been friends with Ryan forever, doing the same head tilt and critical response that Ryan did the first time he saw John's work, not betraying any more visceral reactions. John wants to know Spencer better just for that skill alone. But Brendan is like a little kid, especially after several glasses of wine, and asks about everything. Did you tie him up yourself? Or, what about this one? He looks cold here. Was it cold? Pete saunters over, just in time to overhear Brendan asking, So what's it like for the models? He grins toothily, wolf-like, and slings an arm over Ryan's shoulder. If you're so curious, you should try it out for yourself. I promise that John is very nice about it. He tries to put his other arm over Spencer's shoulder, going for symmetry or a cliché pimp pose, but Spencer shrugs him off. And you are? Spencer asks. He stops slouching and crosses one arm over the other, careful of his wine glass. I'm the hot one, of course, Pete says. Ryan introduces everyone, with Pete still leaning heavily on him. Brendan blinks at Pete. What do you mean, try it out? Try modeling for John. I mean... Pete's grin has somehow turned both predatory and joking, and he looks over at John. Jaywalk, look at this fine young specimen with his porcelain skin and well-proportioned body. Wouldn't he be lovely in your photographs? Doesn't he just make you want to tie him up and do things to him? Ryan coughs into his hand. He distinctly remembers Spencer complaining once when he and Brendan had first moved in together that Brendan never stops moving, I swear. Ryan, I'm just going to tie him up and gag him one of these days. Brendan's cheeks flush, which a kinder person would credit to the alcohol, and he's still wide-eyed, clearly processing the idea. Someone shouts for John, and Pete pulls John and Ryan both away. Spencer and Brendan are left staring at the huge black-and-white print of Pete, sprawled obscenely on the floor of a bathroom, his head in between the toilet and the tub, his arms tied together and then to the base of the toilet, with one leg hooked over the edge of the tub, wearing half-unzipped white vinyl boots, and looking... The word wanton comes to mind. Spencer wishes he'd been drinking more. Brendan stares at the photo, blinks again and again, and then swallows the rest of his wine and says, Let's go catch up to Ryan. It's hours later by the time they leave, and none of them are interested in going out for dinner anymore. Spencer is halfway closer to Brendan in terms of inebriation, and Ryan is still perfectly composed and smiling, happy and relaxed. Brendan is sleepily, clingily drunk, clinging especially to Spencer, who is always more forgiving of personal space invasions when he's tipsy. Ryan thinks they might actually be inhibiting each other's ability to walk, but says nothing. He will remind them of this evening when they least expect it. Oh, so was that the time when I took you two to an art exhibit and you came back so drunk you couldn't really walk? Even if it doesn't apply to the conversation. They stumble up the steps to the train platform. Brendan says, "Thanks for inviting us, Ryan. I mean, in general, but also to the show, yeah." "What else would you have done? Be serious," Ryan says, amused. Then he says, "Thanks for coming to visit." He hadn't realized how much he'd missed either of them until they'd forced their way into his tiny apartment. He really is quite seriously happy. Happy and amused and kind of joyful, really. Maybe even content. With the two of them standing next to him and waiting for the train, Brendan pawing at Spencer and Spencer's cheeks flushed bright red. Although that could be with the cold. Ryan thinks sometimes that he'd like to see Spencer and Brendan together. He knows that part of it is that he is inherently voyeuristic and feels like a thief, like he stole so much from Spencer and Brendan already that they wouldn't mind if he steals that from them too. The image of the two of them together and happy like they are right now, with Brendan talking almost non-stop about the pictures and sleepily petting Spencer's back and hair, and Spencer holding Brendan up in the loose circle of his arms. Ryan jokes about it with Spencer sometimes. "Now that you have Brendan in that apartment all to yourself, I know why you never call, you never write." But from the way Spencer says, "Shut up, Ryan," long-suffering, Ryan's pretty sure that Spencer doesn't think about Brendan that way. It's too bad, really. "Ryan Ross. Ryan. Ross, comma Ryan," Brendan says. "How did you get to know John? Has he ever taken your picture? Have you..." "No, really, Brendan," Ryan interrupts. "Why don't you ask John to take your picture?" Brendan falls silent and leans his head on Spencer's belly. The train clatters into the station and they get on board. Spencer sits next to a window and Brendan leans on him. Ryan takes the seat opposite, and he and Spencer talk quietly about Ryan's classes and his thesis and Spencer's now ex-girlfriend's bad habits on the ride back. Ryan has to leave early the next day for work. Spencer and Brendan had some vague plan to wander the city and text Ryan every time they found something awesome. But Ryan's boss frowns upon cell phone usage during paid hours, so he leaves a note taped to the television. "Call John Walker about his amazing tours of Chicago. He's lived here his whole life." With the phone number on the bottom. John knows all the best sightseeing locations, and more importantly, he shows them all the places where the cool city kids actually hang out. But Brendan keeps thinking about the photographs. Sometimes John will point out a view of the lake or down a side street, and Brendan will remember seeing them before, in the dark, glossy and framed on the wall. Toward the end of the day, they head over to Ryan's job. Brendan can't help himself from asking just a few more questions. He just can't. It feels like it could be his last chance. "John," he starts, "this is unrelated to whatever it was you were just talking about." Spencer's rolling his eyes, but that's never stopped Brendan before. "But how do you find your models? For the photographs. I mean, the photographs from the show last night, since you said you take other kinds of pictures too." John smiles, amused. "Sometimes I find people on model websites or in clubs, but mostly through friends. People know what I do, so they usually end up finding me. Brendan really wants to be asking something else, but he's not sure how to frame it in words, and he feels somehow really nervous even broaching the subject. Spencer's watching him too, carefully, walking close beside him. Spencer says. You know, John says, taking pity on Brendan. He was totally right. If you wanted to try it out, I'd be happy to take your picture. Half a second later, he looks over at Spencer and adds, You too, if you want. Spencer looks taken aback, before quickly schooling his face into blankness. Brendan glances from John to Spencer and back to John. Brendan says. John grins. Brendan reminds him of a little dog trying to do too much, paying attention to Spencer and to John and to wherever they're going. There's no pressure, really. Just saying that if you wanted to try it out, you could. Spencer says, We're only here for a week. Neither John nor Brendan point out that it wasn't really an answer, and John's not going to force anyone. Late in the evening, John gets a text message from Ryan. What are you doing with my quality friend time, Jaywalk? When Spencer and Brendan get to John's place the next day, John has a whole scene waiting for them, with a leather couch and bare hardwood floors, and a white wall with a decorative fabric wall hanging in bright red. He's pushed the table and the other chairs and the television out of the way. There are lights set up in the corners, but they're remarkably unobtrusive. John welcomes them in. I have this concept, he says, but I think you should probably get comfortable in front of the camera first. He has Brendan sign a model release, and then makes puppy eyes at Spencer until Brendan is making them too, and Spencer signs one as well. John's been thinking about his particular concept all morning, and it would have been really different if Spencer said no. John says, Okay, take a seat on the couch. He gets into position with his camera, checking the light levels. Spencer sits closer to one side, and Brendan sits closer to Spencer than the other side, but otherwise they aren't touching, self-contained. John takes a few photos, mostly just to take them, and tells them to hold on. He leaves the room and comes back with an iPod that has clearly seen better days, scratched up and abused, and a set of speakers. He hits play. This is my most ridiculous playlist, he tells them, grinning as it starts. He made it as a joke a few months ago, filling it with bouncy pop songs and Disney and techno remixes of hip-hop songs. Spencer makes a face when Brendan starts to sing along. This is just like being at home, fuck, Spencer says. Shut up, you love it, Brendan says, his eyes bright. John grins from behind the camera, taking snapshots. He can practically see them getting more relaxed. The song changes, and John asks Brendan to take off Spencer's shoes. He's careful to keep his voice casual, but he continues taking pictures as Brendan gets off the couch and kneels at Spencer's feet. Spencer gets it immediately, something in his face going distant. But he doesn't say anything, and Brendan hums under his breath while he deals with the laces. It's when John says, Could you get his socks, too, while you're down there? That Brendan is caught off guard. Oh, Is this part of your concept? Brendan asks, paused where he is, looking at John behind the camera, his hands on Spencer's feet. John isn't super close to Ryan, but he imagines that if you're his friend for too long, you start to speak in capitals. John takes a picture when Spencer looks over too, both of them looking directly at him, at the camera. Maybe, John says. The ridiculous playlist pounds out another cheery tune. Brendan grins halfway. So what? I'm going to strip Spencer and then tie him up? And his hands are still on Spencer's feet, clearly and very deliberately gentle. But he starts taking off Spencer's socks after just a moment's hesitation. I was thinking something along the other lines, actually. And there's nothing dark about John's tone. He's definitely a professional, and he does this all the time. But he's not imagining the dark look in Spencer's eyes. John thinks, this could get very interesting. He would... Brendan sits back on his heels, and John takes a picture, careful that Brendan's face and his hipster glasses and his general fully clothed appearance are in the frame. And the way he sits so well, hands on his thighs, with Spencer just visible from his knees down to his bare toes. If you can take off your jacket and shoes and socks, though, John says. And Spencer, just stay there for now. Yeah, like that, perfect. Spencer has something commanding about him, despite his pretty face. Brendan shrugs out of his jacket and takes off his shoes and socks, all while mostly sitting there on the floor. John takes picture after picture, moving occasionally to get different angles. In some shots, Spencer is staring straight at him, but John catches him watching Brendan more often than not. John has Brendan move to sit with his back to Spencer, on the floor, between Spencer's legs, and asks Spencer to help Brendan take off his shirt. You know, pull from the bottom edge. And Brendan closes his eyes even before Spencer's leaned over him, tugging Brendan's shirt off over his head. When the shirt is halfway off, stuck so that Brendan's arms are up and his torso is stretched out, but his head and arms are still stuck, tangled in the sleeves, John says, stay like that for a second. Spencer moves his hands without John asking him to, while John focuses and clicks, holding on to Brendan's elbows. One hand moves down further, down Brendan's chest, and Brendan's belly flexes beneath it, shivering. If you could take it the rest of the way off now, John says. And so Spencer does. But hold on to his wrist with one hand, up, and, yeah, keep your eyes closed, Brendan. He takes a few more photos, and then the roll is finished. He goes to his iPod and changes the playlist to a more unobtrusive one, just for ambient noise, and picks up the blindfold and cuffs he's had waiting. So, John says, my concept is a pretty vanilla, dominant, submissive series, mostly with the theme of possessive body language and subservience. With people like Bill and Pete, it's not something I get to try very often. He grins at them, but speaks coolly, low, not wanting to break the atmosphere. But let me know if that's not going to work for you. He gives them a moment to think about it, while he puts new film in his camera. It only took a few moments for John to do all of that. Brendan and Spencer hadn't moved from their pose. Brendan opens his eyes to slits, flicking between John and Spencer. Spencer says, sounds good. And he sounds like he did in the gallery, as if nothing could ever bother him. But John thinks that maybe Spencer was born for this role. He can see it in the way Spencer's free hand curls around Brendan's upper arm, near his shoulder. Cool, John says. Here, could you put this on him? He passes the blindfold to Spencer. Some of the best shots from the series. Spencer, putting the blindfold on Brendan. Brendan still between his legs on the floor, his hands up above his head. Spencer sitting on the couch with perfect posture, regal. Brendan next to him with Brendan's jean-clad legs in Spencer's lap, his bare feet under Spencer's inner thighs, his whole body curved towards Spencer, wearing the blindfold and his wrist bound behind his back with two heavy black leather wristbands. Brendan kneeling at Spencer's feet again, This time with Spencer standing up over him, Brendan's hands bound in front of him, leaning up into Spencer's hand, soft in his hair. They don't ever get completely naked. Spencer stays fully dressed, minus his socks and shoes, and Brendan keeps his jeans on, with the addition of the blindfolding cuffs. But it still has an intimate feeling that John likes, a power dynamic he thinks is kinky and interesting in its own way. Ryan calls, just after John says, satisfied, "I think we're done." The sound of Spencer's phone ringing startles all of them. "What?" Spencer says, answering his phone. Oh, yeah, we're just finished. We'll be back soon." Brendan's sitting very still on the couch next to him. He's still in the blindfold, and his hands are still bound behind his back. John feels strangely pleased with himself when he sees the way that Spencer carefully undoes Brendan's wrists. "So," John asks, "what did you think?" Brendan puts on his shirt, clearly thinking. "It was interesting," he says. Spencer already has his socks and shoes back on. On the way back to Ryan's, Brendan keeps trying to read what Spencer wants him to do, reacting to Spencer's unspoken words. And they're not exactly talking a lot right now to begin with. They've been friends for a few years, and they've lived together for the last couple of those. But Brendan's still never felt this totally aware of Spencer's space. He wants to stay in, maybe watch TV and eat pizza with Ryan and Spencer until everything feels normal again. But of course, Pete's having a holiday party tonight, to which he's graciously invited not only Ryan, but Ryan's two visiting friends as well. Brendan tells bad jokes to Ryan on the way over, feeling this nervousness in his limbs, coming out of his mouth in non-stop babbling. Spencer stays quiet and still, watchful. At the party, though, Spencer asks Brendan if he wants something to drink, and goes off to get something for both of them. Brendan and Ryan hang out, still feeling too just-arrived to be friendly with Pete's other friends yet. Pete spots them while Spencer's still off at the snack bar. "Ryan Ross!" he shouts, practically gleeful as he comes over to them. "And Brendan, Brendan, Brendan!" He grins and hangs off of Ryan again. Ryan seems unruffled by this. "I hear you had a good time today with one John Walker." Pete leans in close, and Brendan feels almost like Pete's staring at some tender part of him. He tries to lean back, subtly, but Pete follows. Brendan says. And then Spencer is back, standing next to Brendan. There is something amazing about the way Spencer stands, hips tilted, his entire body warning off strangers and friends alike. Pete backs off. Brendan feels grateful. He's sure he would have anyway, but... They get back to Ryan's place late enough that Ryan says goodnight and goes directly to his room, although Spencer and Brendan both know he is probably just going to be listening to his iPod and writing for a while. But he's basically dead to the world. Spencer and Brendan had been sleeping on the fold-out sofa bed together, and even though Brendan's never been shy about getting undressed in front of Spencer before, he hesitates. It doesn't feel like shyness, though. It feels like newness. They're standing on opposite sides of the sofa bed, and Spencer's already in his pajamas, which is just flannel pants and a Bowie t-shirt, by the time Brendan finishes the thought. He feels stuck. So, he says. And he's really almost never at a loss for words, especially with Spencer. "What the fuck?" he thinks. "What the fuck am I doing?" "Brendan," Spencer says, "you should get ready for bed." He pulls up his side of the covers and starts getting in. It really is pretty late. They both had a few drinks. Yeah, Brendan says, and gets changed. He goes to the bathroom and stares at himself in the mirror for a second, feeling like he must be marked somehow. He must be. He goes back into the living room and gets back in on his side of the bed. Spencer says, "You gonna get the light?" So Brendan gets back up and turns off the light and somehow doesn't stub his toe on the way back. In bed, his heart is beating so fast. He thinks Spencer is his friend. He's off limits. Come on, what the hell is this? Brendan feels like he's seeing through X-ray goggles, except he's only seeing into himself, and he's only seeing in code. 20 minutes pass, and then Spencer says, "I know you're not asleep, Yuri." But he doesn't sound pissed off. He's just stating a fact. Quietly. "Today was interesting," Brendan says, just as quiet. "Interesting and, you know, not quite what I expected." "Yeah? I thought there'd be more nudity, for one." He didn't really mean to make that a question. Spencer says, low, "Did you want there to be more nudity?" Brendan swallows. I don't know. It was interesting. He looks over when he feels the mattress move. Spencer is propped up on his elbow, looking down at him in the dark. "Come here," Spencer says. Brendan scoots over. "What?" he starts. "Shut up," Spencer says. "Tell me to stop if you want me to stop." Then he puts his hands to either side of Brendan's head and kisses him. It's pretty amazing, actually, Brendan thinks. It's kind of super amazing, actually, especially after Spencer coaxes Brendan's mouth open. Brendan's hands clench in the sheets, and he makes a noise without meaning to. "Do you want me to tell you what to do?" Spencer asks, when they've pulled apart. "Yes," Brendan says immediately. "Yes, yes, please. Yes, Spencer." "Be quiet," Spencer says. Brendan stops talking. "Touch yourself," Spencer says, still so low and quiet. "And think about what we did today." He's sitting up again, watching Brendan, and Brendan can't move for a second, and then he has to, slipping his hand beneath his pajama pants, just about to do what Spencer said to when Spencer says, "Push down the blanket first and slide down your pants." Brendan swallows. And does it. His hands are shaking. It's just a little cold in Ryan's apartment. He turns down the heat at night. Brendan can feel his arms getting goosebumps. He looks at Spencer, and then has to look away, closing his eyes and holding his dick in his hand. Spencer says, "Jerk yourself off." And there's just the slightest hitch in his voice. Brendan looks at him again, and he's just watching Brendan. And Brendan starts jerking himself off even before Spencer finishes talking. He starts to breathe faster, thinking about that afternoon. "Tell me what you're thinking about," Spencer says. "Just..." Brendan tries to keep quiet, all too aware of Ryan in the other room. "Just how you would sit, like I should be there. Like you have this spot next to you that I can feel, and all that I felt." He stops talking and almost stops moving his hand as he searches for the words to describe it.
"Go on," Spencer says.
Brendan realizes he's closed his eyes again, but he can't seem to open them, just listening to Spencer's voice and feeling his own hand on his dick.
Safe. It felt safe and hot. Like, even if there had been 20 photographers, you still would be the only one touching me.
And he's getting close. He can feel it. He's getting so close. He feels hot. All evening he was mildly turned on, ready, like the entire photo shoot, and then the party was just some kind of long, slow foreplay, with Spencer always standing so close to him.
"I would be," Spencer says, dark and fierce and possessive. "I would be the only one touching you, Brendan. I want to be the only one touching you and the only one allowed to tell you what to do." And that's it. That's it for Brendan. Spencer's voice and what he's saying. And Brendan tries to be quiet, but he still has to bite back a gasp on his forearm, coming in spurts onto his belly. And all he's thinking is, "I want that. I want that." Spencer makes a noise a second later, more like a quick intake of breath than a gasp. And Brendan opens his eyes in time to see that Spencer's been jerking himself off this whole time. Brendan opens his eyes in time to see Spencer close his eyes and come. Spencer gets a washcloth from the bathroom and cleans them both off before they go to sleep, curled up together. In the morning, Ryan says that they owe him laundry money, you douches. But he's still smiling his secretly happy Ryan smile. The end.